So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Hey guys.
Day at work. Yeah, thank you for working.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever had a full panel.
Pardon me?
No, I don't. No. Do you have an extra pen?
Thank you.
Look at the need of that. Enjoy it.
You got it on your iPad there, huh? Well, I got a hard copy.
Okay, welcome. This is the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission Board meeting. This is Thursday, May 17th, 2012. I'd like the show for the record that all commissioners are present. Yay!
Yay.
I think that's a first. Okay. Next, we're going to start off our meeting with a moment of silence. Okay, and now we're going to go to the announcements. We'll start with do you have anything?
I don't have it.
Okay, we'll keep...
No, I don't.
And anybody okay? Announcements?
I have none.
Okay, well, I have one. There's a volunteer opportunity coming up on this Sunday. They are having, the tree committee is having a, I think they're calling it a butterfly planting ceremony, or not a ceremony, but it's an activity where everyone can come down and help plant some plants that are conducive to the butterfly habitat. And that will be from 1 to, I think, 5 o'clock. And that's over at the Bay Bluffs.
Which day?
That's Sunday. Okay, Mr. Woods, do you have any announcements?
And where is that being held?
That's at Bayshore Bluffs, which is down by Kylan's Park.
I'll have a little more information a little later in A4 if you care for some more details. This weekend is the Mermaid Pirate Parade that's at the Rock. It starts over at Target Rock, and they go down the Harbor Walk down to Dockside. And there's
a public comment. Moving on to A, consent calendar, I'd like to make a motion, or I'd like to have a motion to accept A1 through A3.
A motion to accept A1 through A3 to file.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving right along. That brings us to...
And pull A4.
Leads us to A4, which is the Department Program Project Status Report. Mr. Woods.
Good evening, Chair Crowley and Commission. It's nice. It was odd writing 7-0 on that consent, but it's great to see a full house up at the Commission, and I'm hoping we'll have a terrific meeting this evening. Our status report for this month of May. There's several items that you'll see throughout this report. I would bring to your attention on the first page, Del Mar Tennis Courts. There's been a lot of inquiries about the tennis courts. There's been a lot of excitement because this project has been on the books for quite some time. The funding is still available, and it was extended, so we're not in jeopardy of any money loss there, which is great. We are anticipating a soft opening of the courts, so to speak, because they are soft surface courts. It's probably the only ones in town that we have. We have the hard courts over at Monte Young. These are an artificial turf filled with sand. They're very easy on the joints, easy on the hips, and it's a little bit different action on the ball. So it's an exciting amenity to Del Mar Park. And like I said, we'll be doing, the contractor has just finished up some of the punch list work that was being done, some gluing of the seams around the perimeter, and some other landscapings that are still on his punch list. But the project manager from Public Services, Barry Rands, believes that they're ready to play. And so we want to do a soft opening to get the public, who has really been excited about playing out there to play. Staff is working on a grand opening, if you will, a little ribbon-cutting ceremony and some picture-taking. And we'll announce that. We're going to be targeting, hopefully, in about a week to do that. We'll make a big announcement at that time. So very excited to get the Del Mar soft surface courts open. And there'll be some temporary signage out there for the weekend and some more permanent signs on their way. As far as rules, we're not allowing any other shoes other than tennis or sneakers on that surface, and no other activities other than tennis on the surface. And there's some warranty concerns that we have, so we'll be putting up some rules prohibiting cleats and other different kind of activities as well out there. So tennis shoes only out at Del Mar. And if you're a tennis player or know someone, make sure you pass the word. On the second page, and if there's something that I've missed that you'd want me to discuss, please.
I just have a question about the tennis courts. It's really nice to have a waiting list provided. Is that in the plan? Or if the courts are occupied and people come on and they want to play, is there a sign-up sheet for that?
We are looking to put a time limit on singles and doubles, an hour for singles and maybe an hour and a half for double play. Reservations would be the same as the Monty Young Park, where you can reserve one court and one court only, and we'll still have one the other court open for drop-in play. So we're hoping that the same kind of a policy and rules that we apply to the Monty Young tennis courts would apply at Del Mar.
Excuse me, if I could just interject one point. At Monty Young, we have both courts reserved twice a week. It's right indicated, the signage on the gate indicates that.
And that reservation would be an internal reservation for like tennis play day or tennis lessons. And when it's a member of the general public who's wanting to reserve it for maybe a family use or a private type of use, we're only allowing one court rental at that time. And so that allows the other court to be open. So thanks for clarifying that, Commissioner Romero.
You're welcome.
Mr. Woods, I have a question. On the on-ramp walking into the tennis court, is there going to be a railing put so people can walk up and either, you know, in case they're not steady on their feet?
To answer your question, no, there will not be an additional railing put on that walkway. It has it meets the specifications that don't require a handrail as far as the type size of the curb and the amount of distance on the other side as far as the fall to the ground. So right now we feel that they'll be safe. If it becomes a problem, which I don't think it's going to be, we would look into that. But right now, through the engineer's design and the in-house engineer's review, that the railing was not warranted. I would bring to your attention there'll be other amenities that we're bringing in, which will be a drinking fountain and a tree. We're going to provide water supply to that that corner lot. We've done that. You probably see a water spigot in the back corner. And we'll be doing some weed abatement in the form of bark mulch. So we've got a little bit more fine cleaning and adjusting as far as the grading, and then we're going to be spraying out the weeds and putting down the bark mulch. And as far as future developments, I would imagine that there'll be some direction given to us fairly soon, because it is an empty lot waiting for something to happen. I'm not ready to take any action until there's been a public consensus and it comes through administration.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On page two, we had the Bayshore Bluffs. I did the roundabout, which is an adoptive park through the Rotary of Morro Bay. And they're doing some general cleanup that will be coming soon. And they've also entered into an additional five-year agreement with the city to maintain the rock sculpture at the entrance of the roundabout. And that's significant that they would be taking care of the pump, the clean out of the basin. And it's rather detailed and it's rather it's a good step up for them. We were going to be looking for a different group to come in and do the 5 years. They've done the initial five, and they've agreed to do an additional 5 years. So it's been a good commitment, and it's been a good relationship with them. Bayshore Bluffs, as you know, is Eco Rotary, has adopted that that park. And they're going to be working with the tree committee, and we've got four large planters there. They're oval in shape, just to save the dialogue, and they're about 20 feet around. We have a series of plants that are coming in. They've been designed by Melinda Elster and Gardens by Gabriel. I've probably missed a few other people that have helped them out, but they're called pollinating gardens. And they're designed to have a variety of plants that would attract hummingbirds, butterflies, bees. So it's something that we want to develop over at Morro Cove in the butterfly habitat. And I was through my discussion with the tree committee, they said, wouldn't it be great to have that over at Bayshore Bluffs. So we're testing it out there. There's four large planters. They're asking for volunteers to come out between 1 and 5 on Sunday. And we will have refreshments, beverages, and snacks for people to come out and help us plant. The planters have been leveled. They have a water supply in each one for drip systems. We've got probably about 200 or 300 plants that will be going in. They'll be blooming throughout the year, so there'll be a lot of color. It's really exciting to have something different, like a pollinating garden, coming in. And then we'll be looking to do some additional signage for public education, but that won't start this weekend. This weekend's the big planting. So we're very excited about having this development. We put in some additional rocks, so staff's been working to prep the site. So that looks to be very exciting. So if anybody wants to come out and volunteer and do some planting and you know, get some dirt in the fingernails, and it's a beautiful park, it's a beautiful view overlooking the bay, and it's just, if you've ever been to Bayshore Bluffs, maybe Sunday would be a time to come on out after lunch. The Cloisters project, Cloisters Parkway project has been done, and we are still maintaining those parkways, and we are going to our third meeting or public hearing on 26th of June. That's the last meeting for the both assessment districts for the levying of the assessment for the new year. We are looking to outsource the majority of the maintenance out of the Cloisters assessment district, and we are looking to maintain in-house labor for the North Point, at least for this next year, possibly rolling that out the following year. Depends on how their operations go. We're still an evaluation on that. Junior lifeguard program. Registrations are underway. Session one begins June the 25th, goes to the July 13th. Session two will be July 23rd through August the 10th. Our pool program is July the 8th, June 8th through the 22nd. We have all new. We've got a lot of new staff. They're all USLA certified. They went through the lifeguard academy. And things are really rolling. So if you've got young ones who want to get into the junior lifeguard program or into the pool program, they're not quite ready for the open ocean, this is a great program. Look for our registration online through our Recreation Parks website, or drop into our office at 1001 Kennedy Way. This year will be the 23rd annual Rock to Pier Run, which we're very excited about. It's the Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run. It's a 10K. It starts at the Rock and ends at the Cayucas Pier. The race is July the 7th. It's a Saturday. It's an 8 a.m. start, and our race will start at 8. We're very punctual with our start time because we have a tide to contend with. So all the runners out there who want to do a nice fun run or a walk, you can do a 10K Rock to Pier, or if you're a little bit more stronger, in the lower body, you can do a half marathon in the sand, and then it's rocking around the pier. So we think it's a catchy name, and we're hoping that it's successful, and we know it will. That concludes my report on the items in the status report. Be happy to answer any questions at this time. If there aren't any, then I would be looking for a motion to accept this report for file.
I'll make a motion that we accept Mr. Woods' report.
And I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, now we're going to go on to, well, seeing as how there are no public hearings, we're going to go on to C, unfinished business. And let's receive an update on the City of Morro Bay smoking ordinance.
Good evening once again, Chair Crowley and Commission. This item is brought back to you as part of what we agreed on a few years back. As an item comes through Commission and goes to City Council for action, that I would report back to you on that action, and this is a report back. That's why it is unfinished business for you. The smoking ordinance is established. It's 9.24, and on the books, I won't go back with all the history, but basically there was no smoking on city beaches and no smoking on any tea pier. We also have a restriction of no smoking 20 feet from any operable window or door from a building, and state law is more stringent than a city law, so 25 feet, smoking is prohibited 25 feet from any play area. So those are the rules that we're working with. Just recently, City Council had been reviewing this ordinance and have made some significant changes. Basically, it's the new changes are 9.24 still, and it's secondhand smoking regulation, which prohibits smoking in public places, which obviously you know our department is a major stewardship of all public places, and those are defined for those of you at home who don't have this report as any public or private place open to the general public, regardless of any fees or age requirement, including, for example, streets, sidewalks, parking lots, parking garages, plazas, bars, restaurants, clubs, stores, stadiums, parks, playgrounds, city beaches, and tea piers, taxis, and buses. So public places is quite inclusive. Obviously, all the areas that that we manage. Right now, we have smoking signs that say it's prohibited 25 feet from the play areas. Those are part of the park rules that are posted in each one of the parks. Staff is prepared to go through and modify those, and so they'll just read smoking is prohibited, saving us a little bit of money and replacing the signs. But we have come up with some new signage that we think that may be appropriate in public places and where you may not realize that it's a smoke-free zone, it would be. And part of the ordinance is for staff is to educate the public on the smoking ordinance. So we've come up with this little saying: "This public places are smoke-free zones." And the ordinance gives pretty good guidelines on what kind of signs you can use, what size they are, and the font size has to be an inch, and so forth and so on. So we are trying to be proactive. There is some exceptions to the smoking ordinance. There are too many for me. I don't want to go into all of them tonight unless you ask me to. But basically, as it affects our department, a group could do a special event such as the Avocado Margarita Festival. There's a public area use permit that's an application that's submitted, and then there are conditions placed on the permit, and we would review with the applicant if they're requesting smoking at their special event, and then if there was and it was to be permitted, and then special signage would be required, a special area be designated as a smoker's outpost, and there are some conditions within the 9.24 that would need to be met in order to have a smoker's outpost. So it's very restrictive.
Well, I would like to ask, is there a time frame in mind for when this would go into effect?
Yes, thank you. The ordinance, City Council held their meeting on April the 10th. It was the second reading, after which the ordinance is adopted it will be in effect on the 31st day of its passage. So I don't have a calendar in front of me. I didn't nail it down, but 31 days from April the 10th. Yeah.
So that makes it in effect as of now, because, right? And, you know, I would just like to reiterate, this includes the baseball park. I was there last night, and there was a man that lit up right next to the batter cage. So maybe we could get some signs over there as well. But it's like, it's one of those awkward situations where nobody wants to speak up and say anything to the smoker. So I think, yeah, those signs are going to come in. They're going to come in handy. They'll be important.
Yeah, if I could, I would say that, yeah, our education to our participants in our community is going to be vital. We don't want, though the ordinance says, you know, not knowing about the ordinance is no excuse. I think that there has to be some educational period. It is assumed that this will be a passively enforced ordinance, and that folks would see signage and understand that there was no smoking. There is some exceptions to smoking. If a person is in an open area and there is no other, there are no non-smokers in the area, and those non-smokers weren't expected to be in the area at the time the person was smoking, then that smoking would be permitted. And so there are, and then if you were smoking on a sidewalk and you were walking from point A to point B, that would be permitted, as long as the smoke that you were creating wasn't filtering into a prohibited space, such as a storefront or another type of a building. So there's a few exceptions, as well as the smoker's outpost and the special event permit that would allow it with conditions. So there are some areas that you can still smoke. However, public places that you see is very generally very wide open, very well defined. I mean, it's everywhere we manage. So the parking lots at parks are public places, and obviously all of our parks and public buildings. So having our sign as public places are smoke-free zones, we believe will help send a positive message. It will allow those smokers to be educated on the rules, and hopefully curtail an uncomfortable situation where you'd have to possibly confront a smoker where you may not be comfortable, and that maybe that's not part of who you are. So we try to eliminate that and provide a very safe and a very enjoyable environment in our community, especially in our parks.
Have some signs been put out already, Joe?
The signs that we have out there now are 20 feet from operable doors and windows and 25 feet
on just what we had.
We haven't modified any signs. We haven't bought any new signs. We haven't actively posted no smoking or smoke-free zones.
Is there an estimated timeline when you think you'll start and then complete?
I was hoping I'd get some feedback from the commission. The council had a few... opinions about a lot of signs. They weren't really in favor of plastering this whole town with no smoking signs. So we would like to go at it with a little bit of precaution. We want to make sure that we're putting in a positive message. It's going to be in the right spot. It's going to be the right size. It's going to work for us, as opposed to being obnoxious and taking away from one's experience and being restrictive and being really negative. So we were hoping that we'd get some feedback on public places or smoke-free zones. Always have to have the city ordinance for enforcement, but we were hoping that if we had some dialogue with commission before we made any major investments in signage.
Joe, I had a few thoughts. Also, maybe it should say public areas as opposed to places.
Okay. We were being consistent with the ordinance.
Oh, okay.
But we can certainly I love the suggestions, and that's why
sure.
I brought it forward.
I thought about this, and being from down in San Diego, where it was one of the first communities in Solana Beach where they implemented the smoking ordinance, and also I'm having my business right next to the Belly Up Tavern, which puts on, you know, world-class music and performers, and they had to go smoke-free. And I think there's, in the United States, communities have these regulations. So my feeling is because the regulations aren't simple, like am I 20 feet or 25 feet or am I smoking in the wrong place? I don't see that as a reason to throw this out. We can look at any regulation and talk about certain vagueness. So my feeling is this is great. It's consistent with what's happening. And the implementation by having the regulation will make a big difference. And Karen, I understand the discomfort of having to approach somebody, but I think as the community, we can be a vocal voice and just inform someone. Hey, I don't know if you knew, but we're no longer allowed to smoke in a public place. So I'm really happy and excited about this.
We felt the smoke-free zone was a little bit more positive. It's supposed to say, hey, you can't smoke here. He's saying, hey, it's a smoke-free zone. So that basically puts the responsibility back on the person who is wanting to light up. But I'd be curious to ask Commissioner Dorfman if the signs that they have down south at these beach communities, were they illustrated circles with a cigarette with a line through them? Were they something that, like we have here with a smoke-free zone, or is it say smoking's prohibited? How do they go about that?
Well, for example, there's always been a big concern that one day you'd go to Paris and you couldn't smoke. Well, that day's here. You can't smoke on the trains in Europe. So when you implement these rules, they follow suit. I mean, like a lot of things. I mean, it's known, and this isn't an uncommon regulation to have on the coastal community. So it didn't take a whole lot of enforcement. When you don't allow smoking in a restaurant, it starts to get more, you know. I think you'll look back on this in a year and realize it's in place.
I think one of the things that you hit on was the education. I don't know if you remember when San Luis Obispo in town, there was a huge educational push to get everybody to, you know, to that level of no smoking. There was multiple, you know, things on the news, public service announcements. It was very clear that was what was going on there, and anybody knows, you know, being down there that's not what you do. So I think it's going to take some education to get this through, and doing it in ways that are nice.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, I feel it's necessary to reiterate that it is against the law to smoke inside your car when there are children present inside of your car. That's not cool. It's against the law. It's exposing them to secondhand smoke. And I can just, you know, I think some people will make that excuse. Well, I can't smoke over there, so I'm going to get my last puff in the car, you know. So I just wanted to reiterate that.
I just want to remind everyone that we're talking about, you know, 20% of the individuals. That's a small population, and it's dwindling quick.
That's part of the facts. The commission, when you last reviewed this, we forwarded a recommendation that was a little less stringent. We had this commission recommended that there would be a ban on smoking in all parks, but allowing smoking in the parking lots. And that was something that was forwarded. And so I just, when we go through this discussion and as we conclude, it's become a lot more strict as far as the smoking and prohibiting it in all public places. But there are a couple of areas in which one is allowed to smoke. And so it isn't totally out of question that a person could be out by themselves smoking, or in their car smoking, or in their home smoking. But I would encourage anybody who is more interested is to get on our city website and look at the fine details of our city ordinance 9.24. And I would be looking for some additional signage that staff will be putting out. If I didn't hear any objections or if I get a sounding endorsement from the commission, we would continue our pursuit with public places or public areas are smoke-free zones. And that would obviously help educate the folks. And through our meeting here and just discussing it, through our circles of relationships that we have, and as you seven go out and the rippling effect continues through our community, I think that the education will be part of the success of this ordinance.
Sorry, Joe, one last thought. I think it's somewhat like where littering and recycling is today. You know, everyone's very, very attenuated to recycling and littering. And I really feel like this, in the communities I've seen that have had this in place for 10 or 12 years, it's like smoking on an airplane now. We couldn't imagine that.
I think staff came up with this fine. And if you want to change it to areas instead of places, I feel it's appropriate enough to use that. And would you start replacing your existing ones with that before we spread it to other places where there isn't signage?
No, we wouldn't. And thanks for asking, Commissioner Munoz. We would be looking at our existing signs and modifying them somehow. I want to say white out, but I think we'll do something a little more permanent because we have no smoking's prohibited within 25 feet as far as our park rules. And so we would just take out the last section and say smoking is prohibited. So we could cover the smoking ordinance with our existing signage. It's those new areas that we don't want to overpopulate with this message of no smoking. I think that there is a point where it will be educational, but not to drown the public out. And so we're going to be looking at parking lots as people come into our parks and into our facilities, such as the Betts Hall and such as the community center, that those areas, you would catch a sign at the beginning. Similar to when you go to a school district, and in front of the school it says, this school district is a smoke-free zone or tobacco-free zone. And that was talked about at the county. So you'll have that right off the bat. So when you pull up to an area, you'll know. So I won't need a whole lot of signage throughout the facility site, but maybe a general entrance sign that's not huge. It's something it will be visible. People can see it, and then they can make the appropriate choice at that time.
I kind of feel that it'd be better to be more direct with the symbols. I mean, that's kind of, you know, I feel the same way about cluttering signs. You know, very concise. I mean, the only thing we're really keeping out is the distances of where you can and can't smoke. I think the direct signs are a little bit more well received than, you know. I'm still trying to read that sign, and it still hasn't gotten to me yet.
Well, it needs to pop.
Well, but if there was a cigarette with a line through it, I would understand that, okay. You know. And if I didn't, you know, what if English wasn't my first language?
And staff agrees with you, and the ordinance allows us to do one or another. And it gives us dimensions on signs. And so this particular sign, what we want to do is we want to capture our branding of our park sign. It has the rock, and it has the boat, the La Bay picture, and it's kind of a rock shape on the top. This isn't a square cut. So we'll have that on the top. And then I think that below we could put the symbol on the same post. So you'd have a quick visual. If English was a second language to you, you could grasp that no smoking right off the bat, similar to what we see here in the back of this particular room.
Yeah, it's very clear.
We've got some folks here that English is a second language, and that helps explain the rules here. So we were thinking maybe if we wanted to add that picture, that circle with the line through it, underneath on the same post, it would be less clutter. Concise and branding the city of Morro Bay and what we're doing with a positive message and then a symbol to be more universal. So it's a great suggestion, and I think that we would certainly go forward with that.
Yeah, I think you're getting some feedback here that to use that universal sign with the red circle and
okay.
Joe, just out of curiosity, how many formal complaints has the city had over people smoking in the city?
I don't think I've ever received a smoking complaint.
Thank you.
But our smoking right now is, Well, I take that back. I have had complaints, not formal complaints, but I've had complaints from staff at the community center where people would come in, they would be close to the building and smoking out in front, and we would have operable windows directly above.
Okay.
So the smoking would enter our workspace, which in this city ordinance, with the past ordinance, it could be legal because they were 20 feet from an operable door or window. But this ordinance doesn't allow that smoke to go into an area where it's prohibited. So if you had a smoker's outpost and it met all the criteria, that smoke would not be able to travel into an area where smoking is prohibited. So smoking outposts have to be designed and located in strategic places. And staff is certainly addressing that as well, because in our stewardship of public places and city facilities, we handle city workers' environment. So it isn't just the public visiting the parks or special events. It's also the city workers who may or may not want to smoke during the time that they're here, on a break or at lunch. And so we would be looking at that on a case-by-case, different department. There's warning. The police department here is very accommodating to the public, I believe.
Well, it seems like they could be a great tool to, you know, go to some of these baseball games and just kind of they could help with the education just with their presence, you know.
We haven't solicited that kind of support from the police department, but I certainly would have a discussion with our new police chief, Mike Lewis, who is an interim police chief since Chief Olivas had taken off and got a reassignment. So there's a new guy there. It's Mike Lewis, and terrific police chief so far for our community, and I think that he'd be willing to work with us on an educational campaign. I don't know if they've got the resources to allocate for that kind of education, but we would try our department spreading the word first, and then if we had a repeat situation where we'd have to have a little more support, there's no doubt that our Morrie Police Department would be there to support us and to help us educate the public. When you say earlier we had talked about this smoker who was at the ball field, and he was a player.
He was not a player.
Okay.
No. He was spectator.
Okay, spectator. But what I was going to say is we will be including the smoke-free zone educational information in our public air use permit, in our registration packets for adult activities. And so we're going to try to disseminate the information through our registration system. It won't be this blaring thing, but it may be just something that we include in our manager's report, our manager's meeting. So softball team managers will understand the ordinance, and they can disseminate the information to their players so we can have a little bit more support at that level, as opposed to coming down with an authoritative voice saying you can't smoke. Really trying to get the community behind this, and as we get into the community behind it, I think that the momentum will certainly carry itself.
Okay, if there's no further discussion or dialogue, I'd like to get a motion to accept this report for file with the recommendation to add the no smoking universal sign.
I'll make a motion to accept that.
Second. Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
One dissenting.
Okay, let that be noted. Okay, item D, new business. We have two items. The first one is the recommendation to City Council for a temporary master fee amendment to allow no charge for the giant chessboard on the Embarcadero.
Thank you, Chair Crowley. I know that was a mouthful. They like to get, they've been recommended I have a strong title so people know what the agenda item is. And we certainly want to do that. Your city council has adopted the master fee schedule and has fees for the use of the giant chessboard. They are broken down to a nonprofit or a resident, which is, I believe, $25. And then profit groups or non-residents would pay $39, and profit-making groups, if they wanted to reserve the giant chessboard, would be $105. We experience, on average, about 15 reservations for the giant chessboard per year. and I've calculated it back to the last 5 years, and on average, the annual revenues generated from those reservations is $423. Those have been taken throughout the year. I did not break it down to the summer months that I'm asking for. And I think it's imperative that I explain a little bit about what's going on now and how we came about to having a request for a free chess. Right now, our policy and our procedures are very cumbersome. They're very taxing on staff, and they're very inconvenient for visitors and locals to use the board. If you were with your family and you were down on Embarcadero and you see the giant chessboard, which is basically a world-famous, the largest one, it was the largest one in the world, chessboard, and there have been a lot of magazine articles that have covered it. If you're down there and you want to play chess, you're asked to come to the Morro Bay Community Center and sign up and pay a fee. And so if you were up to that, you would make your way. Hopefully you had a vehicle, or if you were biking, you'd be biking uphill all the way, and we've had a few families come in rather winded, and they would pay the fee if they were ready to do that. We take a deposit, either a credit card or a driver's license as collateral, and we would give them the key to the shed that houses the pieces, and they're the big wooden pieces that have a lot of history, and that history is explained on the interpretive panel at the giant chessboard, so I won't belabor that this evening. So then the family would come down, they would play their game of chess for as long as they wanted to. There was a time friends and family that are from out of the area, or locals who like the game and just want something different. So in order to do that, we really had to change our policy and the way we're doing things. And I felt as I could look at this and come to you and say, what do you think about offering this at no cost for the summer? And I haven't nailed down a date. I'm looking at sometime in June through sometime in September, and we can fine-tune that maybe to the school schedule or something like that. And then offer the plastic pieces, not the wooden pieces, at no cost. And the plastic pieces are a set that we've purchased for a different type of a rental. We're trying to preserve our wooden pieces so they don't get too damaged over the years. And they've been fixed and repaired and painted and so forth. But if we were going to offer free chess, then we would offer it with the plastic pieces because they would be unmonitored. And our idea explained in your staff report is that our morning maintenance person would come through Centennial on their routine maintenance schedule of cleaning the park and cleaning the restroom, and they would pull out the plastic pieces that we have. There's two bags of them. And they're fairly large in size. They're probably 24 inches pawns, and then up from there. And we would make those pieces available at the chessboard in the morning first thing. We would generate some appropriate signs that would allow some education to the public, saying that it's free chess, feel free to play, respect the pieces, enjoy, leave them for the next person, please. Things like that, some positive messages and some ground rules in which they could participate, and then having a drop deadline as far as a closure that evening. So the evening guy, in the summertime we do seconds, and we call them seconds. It's a second visit to the park and clean the public restrooms because it is very busy, and sometimes we actually do three rounds on the waterfront restrooms. We certainly will be doing doubles starting this week, actually. And as that maintenance person goes through on his second rounds, he or she would pick up the pieces, bag them, and store them, and that would be the end of the free chess that day with no more reservations. And that would be Sunday through Friday. And on Saturday, the big wooden pieces come out, and that activity is sponsored by the Morro Bay Chess Club. And they allow visitors to watch. They've got smaller pieces for the tabletop boards, and they do allow some participation from the general public into their program. So that's a Saturday activity that's going to be happening throughout the summer. So we thought that if we offered free chess and we made it available, what are the chances someone's going to take us up on it? Probably pretty good. and we feel that their experience would be enhanced, and they would probably tell a lot of people about their experience and that they had free chess here and it was wonderful and what a great place. And they want to come back, they want to tell a friend. And that's the kind of experience and the kind of feeling and we want to share with people that come here. And so it will be a trial basis this first year, if that's the direction we're going into. So I'm looking for suggestions about this proposal, any additions, adds, different direction, and then maybe what we would need to do as we bring this forward to City Council, if that's your recommendation. And that concludes the report. Be ready for some discussion if the commission is willing.
Well, I think it's a good idea to offer the free chess with the plastic pieces and with the option that if they wanted to use the wooden pieces or if they had a club that wanted to come through and use them, you know, to still be able to get reservations. But, yeah, I'm all for it. It seems a win-win situation.
I think it's a very good idea. I did notice this Saturday, however, excuse me, that the wooden pieces are kind of used and they need painting. They need, like, an upkeep or something. Because I was looking at them, and I thought, I wonder who keeps them up. As far as charging for the wooden pieces, I'd stick with that. I mean, that's an honor. When you read the history of who made them, how they were made, it's very interesting.
Coralie, thank you.
Yes. And then the plastic pieces, sure, free. That'll be great.
I go along also with Anita. I had an experience there just recently. I had a 7-year-old grandson played the chess club president on a Saturday, no charge. It was arranged through your office. And those wooden pieces.
Yeah, I think Joe has it covered with the maintenance guy setting out the pieces in the morning and taking them up.
Yeah, they got to go there anyways.
Yeah. I think we're good.
We can certainly look into some sponsorship to recoup some of the lost revenues that we've described. On average, is about a little over $400. If we were to get a sponsorship that would cover that cost, the city wouldn't be out any revenues, and that business per se would be able to publicize what they have and that they're sponsoring it. The Chamber of Commerce is one that that we thought about before as far as monitoring and actually doing the wooden pieces for a fee and just taking over that in and out of checking in and checking it out. And they really didn't have the resources when we were covering and discussing this, the possibility of transferring that procedure down to them. So we kind of held on to it, and it's been awkward for us to do that. We don't really have the staff to drop everything because the staff we have are all occupied doing programming or other maintenance activities. So we're looking at ways to provide the program, but not have that negative impact on our resources, so we could utilize those to do what we're supposed to be doing as far as street maintenance and programs and whatnot. Sponsorship is something that if you're looking for, are you recommending us to look into, we would certainly do that. We would go to the neighboring businesses, whether they're Dorn's or the Sazio's or Sun and Bun, or even across the street. There are a few businesses obviously surrounding that park. So we would put together some literature and look for sponsorships. So there might be a shared one that everyone grabs a couple weeks worth. I'm not too sure, but I would certainly put some effort into a sponsorship. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Do you have a cost on the plastic pieces?
Not off the top of my head, I don't. I wish I had brought some numbers with me. It was very reasonable. I think we got the set for, I want to say, around $500. And it was reasonable at the time when we picked them up. The old pieces, to answer a question that was brought up about the wooden pieces from Commissioner Ayoub, was that they have been repaired throughout the years through members of the chess club. They have been painted by certain volunteers. And the last unveil, we did an unveiling of the interpretive panel that that highlights the history of the giant chessboard, the pieces, Wayne Bickford and Botso Corricelli, who were the main principals in getting this completed. And Botso said he would be willing to entertain his, bring his sculpting class out to help repaint those pieces. So we're hoping that comes to fruition and we can get a new look on them. And if we buy the paint, then he said they would do the labor. So we're getting into more partnerships. We've found that to be very fruitful at various venues, and this certainly would warrant the same attention. So thanks for bringing that up. I hope I answered your question regarding the pieces.
So we already have plastic ones in our inventory? Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We wouldn't be buying anything new, and we would certainly consider continue to provide the wooden pieces for a fee. And whether we look at that procedure or not, I'd like to look at it and have it something done a little bit differently, and maybe through our sponsorship and this free chest, that something else, some new ideas come up and some different resources. And I look forward to that, for those discussions.
Joe, I think this is great, and I've been to resort type areas or areas like Morro Bay where people come, and I was somewhere and there was a miniature golf that they had made with 2x4s, and they were charging like $8 a person, and people were there for 3 or 4 days. They would have got so much out of just making it free. Let people interact, let people enjoy it. There might be a way to give sponsorship for a year or 2 years, put their logos on the pieces actually. There could be a certain value to that that could cover a lot. There's ways to do it that can and can't be removed. But I think the goodwill of the community to encourage individuals to be down there and interact is just great. And I played Morro Bay.
Okay, so I may make a recommendation then to forward to City Council that we approve that they waive the fees on the plastic pieces.
Okay, before you go there, let me just support the idea of having a tourism center get involved. They're right across the street. They could easily bring the pieces out, put them back.
Oh, they got that covered with the staff.
Yeah, I think Parks, Rex and Park has it covered.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right.
Sure.
They're there at 5:30.
Yeah, before we make a record.
Dates that you come in mind, or you say, hey, maybe you should do it the last day of school, that first weekend that they're open, the kids are off. That's when we do the pre-program. And would it run through all of September or just through Labor Day? Or do we run it through Harbor Festival weekend? And maybe we don't, and we look to get the revenues then. That timing, I'd look for a recommendation. So I didn't want to interrupt the process, but I wanted to make sure I had that bit covered. Thank you.
Okay, so you want some feedback as far as when it would
September
be available,
10th.
Starting and ending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
June 10th, September.
First day of summer through the Harbor Festival.
No, Harbor Festival is in October, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do the trial over the summer and kind of regroup over that and, you know, leave it as it has been in the past for the Harbor Fest. I think there's enough going on that weekend.
So I'm hearing maybe the direction is to allow to bring this forward and to recommend a City Council that we have this temporary free chess during this summer break.
Like June 10th.
Sometime June 10th to September 10th was simplified up here.
Great. Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt. So you've got a motion on the floor. You're looking for a second.
With the recommendation to seek sponsorship. Okay. Can I get a motion?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion that we let them play free chess June 10th through September 10th. And if we can find some sponsors, that would be great.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And just for clarification before we leave this item, Commissioner Munoz brought up the idea of coming back in September. Did I hear that? With a report as far as a follow-up? And would you want us to include any discussions with the surrounding businesses?
Yes, as far as like
Yes, as far as like their idea for sponsorship, okay. If they would go into that.
I would approach them for sponsorships prior to the program, and I would approach them to see how it went. Wow, we just had, 100 more people every day you had free chess, and it really boosted our business. I think maybe that kind of information may be handy to come back with.
Mm-hmm. That's what yes, I was looking that'd be for. Great.
And Joe, I don't know who's communicating to those who might sponsor, but and I did mention putting, potentially logos on the chess piece, and depending on how chess players look at all that, but there's an incredible inherent value to the merchant to have their logo on something people are touching like that. So again, I don't know who handles it, but in terms of advertising, that's a pretty big bang for your dollar.
On the advertising, are you talking about on the plastic pieces?
I'm merely suggesting or that there's a lot of value to that if that's something people want to do.
Because I don't think they should be on the wooden pieces.
Oh, no,
not on the wooden pieces.
Okay. Yeah. She wants some clarification on the plastic pieces.
Wooden are safer, not.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some type of feedback from your staff and the businesses in that surrounding area just to see the results of this new idea.
I think, John, there's a lot of value just in the goodwill. Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on to our second item of new business is the Recreation and Parks Department program evaluations. Are you ready, Mr. Woods?
Certainly. Thank you. I have four program evaluations. Three programs to evaluate. We'll try to get through them and be asking for a motion to accept all three for file at the conclusion of the third. The first program evaluation is brought to you by Heather Salyer-Frith, our recreation supervisor, and this program is for Kids Camp Spring Break. Spring Break is a program that is a merit service category, and the target revenue is 70% to 79% cost recovery for the program and support services. Donations-based field trips have no fiscal impact on the general fund. So we do get donations from various groups. The Senior Citizens Incorporated give us a sizable donation, and that goes directly to field trips. The program total costs were $5,060. Tuition revenue was just under $7,000. Our gross revenues were $1,875, a cost recovery of 137%. For those of you who haven't looked at support costs before, we do have psychology of support costs is off a bit, in that we do have an increased number of online registrations that would reduce the support services needed and increase our cost recovery. At the same time, spring break was a healthy participation, and we averaged about 30 children attending each day. And it basically gets a little sneak peek into the summer camp program. And I would open up this particular spring break kids camp for any questions before I move on. Seeing none, I would be moving on to our next program evaluation, which is the review of the 2012 adult co-ed soccer program. This was prepared to you for you by our sports supervisor, Karen Sweeney. In 2012, we had 37 adults participate in the adult co-ed soccer program. We had two nights that were rained out, unfortunately, and so the program goes a little longer. Our direct costs for the program were basically our paint and our coordinator. We have a SMAF player medical benefit fund that covers if a participant could add that on to the registration, that would cover them while they're playing. Cost of the referees and the lights, and then the cost allocation again. That's a percentage. It's a number used for each participant for the support costs that it takes to put on the program. Our total direct cost, pardon me, $2,122. Our indirect cost, which is a contribution to the light fund, when we have things that go, light bulbs that go out or fixtures that go out on the field lights, we use this fund to fix those problems. That was $120. Our total expenses are $2,242. Registration revenues were at $1,902. So the net loss was $340. Cost recovery at 85%. This is a merit program, and it's scheduled to have 70 to 79% cost recovery. We have some recommendations down in the bottom, and I would open up this program for any questions at this time as well.
Where do they generally play this?
Lila Kaiser Park. And the last program I have for your evaluation is the, and this is prepared by Karen Sweeney, our sports supervisor, is the Dixon Halfley Spaghetti Dinner. And this is a fundraiser that's annual. It benefits the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that has their board volunteering as well as this commission volunteering to support the scholarship fund for youth in our community and the Estero Bay community to participate in sports and enrichment programs. And right now the scholarships are at 40% of the registration for each program. The dinner was held on the 23rd, Friday of March. It was held at the Morro Bay Community Center. We had approximately 400 dinners served, and there was about $2,142 deposited into the Youth Scholarship Fund. I can break that down a little bit more if you'd like to. You can see that our direct costs were just over $500, and our indirect costs were a little over $1,100. Revenues were not as high as some of the years that we've had. There's been a lot of increased competition with other fundraisers that are going on in the same weekend in that time of year. So it's really tough for nonprofits now to get out there and do these fundraisers. But I still think that this is a quality program that we would want to continue. Our raffle tickets were on site, and that was a little over 1,000. Our senior donation, which is from the Senior Citizens Incorporated, was $350, and our ticket sales was just over $1,200. So the total revenues were $2,647, and then less our expenses, we deposited into the Morro Bay Community Youth Scholarship Fund, $2,142. There are some recommendations there, and I'd be happy to discuss those. We also want to have some recognition on our volunteer coordinator, Eleanor Walt. The setup crew was the Girl Scout Troop 4026620, which is great having the girls come in and help us set up and decorate. The music was provided by the Mud Skippers. The sixth grade cap program project students, Theo Mackey and from Teach Elementary, through our website. And I think we've maybe been doing a press release as well. So we've got door prizes, raffle prizes, food donations. Those are all listed there. Big thanks to those individuals and those companies for supporting this program and supporting the youth of the Estero Bay, we feel is very important and very valued. This concludes my spaghetti dinner report. I'd be happy to answer any questions on this report or the previous two. I'll turn it back to the commission. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, I'd like a motion to accept this report for file.
I'll make the motion. We accept it to file.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we're into the future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items? Okay, seeing as there are no future agenda items, correct? Yes? No? Okay. Then I would like to make, do we need a motion to, oh, sorry.
I would just add one thing. I don't want to belabor our meeting too long, but I was just letting you know that there are some items coming in front of City Council that I'll be reporting on, other than the final hearing for the assessment districts in June the 26th. But I will also be presenting the trash receptacles project that's scheduled for the Rock. We're bringing back some information on possibly replacing the 19 or 20 aggregate trash receptacles with the solar-powered compactor Big Belly receptacles. And you'll see those solar-powered trash receptacles. We have three of them now. One is at Centennial on the west side. One is at Mariner Park. And the other is at Tidelands Park. So we're looking to expand that. I've been researching with that company and other corporate sponsors to try to get that funding for that program. So I'll be making a report to City Council. And then earlier in June on the 12th, I'll be reporting on an update on the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park, which is up for a review. And I think it's been well over a year, maybe even a year and a half. So it's been scheduled for June. Those are the two topics I'll be in front of the council. And I would be bringing back any kind of results after that meeting at our next meeting in July.
Okay, I just remembered two things that we need to talk about. Remember how you were interested in doing a special meeting with the parks tour? We should probably discuss that right now? Or...
You know, I think it's certainly a time to put that on a future agenda item. We would want to put that on July's agenda. Our third Thursday in July is when we meet next.
Okay.
And then we can certainly do a special meeting or a trolley run between that and our next regular meeting.
Okay.
Because our regular meeting was usually in July, was canceled, and we would do a field trip, and we would tour all the parks. And we would lose a regular meeting. And since our schedule has changed to every other month, missing a month would set us back about 4 months in these reports. So I think that having a regular meeting is important, and having a special meeting to do a parks tour would be something that we wanted to discuss. So I would certainly put that on the next meeting's agenda.
Okay, and this is more of an announcement. We have a commission board and council board social coming up next Thursday night. And that begins at 5, is that right, Joe? Here at the Vets Hall?
No, I don't believe it's here at the Vets Hall, and you should be getting an invitation via email. And if you want any specifics and details, please contact our office. Talk to myself in the office or Barbara, and we'll be able to get you some details on date, time, and location.
If you like, I'd be able to tell you exactly where it's located. And I got the email.
Fire away,
it's
Commissioner
right
Romero.
It's the Stasio's restaurant. It's called Bella Vino. It's a wine tasting facility, which is part of the restaurant. And it's from 5 to 7. And complimentary wine, hors d'oeuvres, and refreshments.
Okay, thanks, Al.
You're welcome.
All right, I think we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.
7 o'clock?
We've never had a complaint about smoking, yet we have to have ordinances.
Well,
yeah. I think women wear too much perfume and your hair should be past your collar.
The thing with the smoking one, though, is it's just every state. And
again with the time.
I know.
It's not really, it's not because there's an issue, it's because there's a national direction.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Morro Bay is certainly not the first.
No, it's not.
We're way down the line there.
I don't know how they want it. That's the way things are.